very busy. Many important matters require a king's attention.
I'm king now. King now.
I am king.
I am
king.
I am
kiss it.
I am
kiss it again when I return.
Your fingers or your
king
tongue?
Doesn't
fingers
discuss
your
battle plans.
I am
one.
Stupid girls.
Your fingers or your tongue?
I am
the king.
I'm telling mother.
Oh. Welcome to the Joffrey Podcast. My name's Bubba. With me, as always, is Catfish. Catfish, how you doing?
Oh, I'm super excited to be doing this off-season pod.
Well, we're so excited. We've brought, you know him, as a guy I like to call Big Mork from our podcast based on FX's The Strain. Mork, how are you doing?
I'm great. Thanks for letting me out of the dryer, guys.
You were good in there, Mork. So this is a special off-season edition of the Joffrey Podcast. And let me say right up front to our double L's.
Double L's?
Yeah, that's our loyal listeners.
Oh, I forgot
people
already.
People who listen every week, that this is going to be slightly different from normal. Normally, we're a podcast that talks about first of his name, first in your hearts, King Joffrey Baratheon. A great character, so it's a lot of fun. We're having a lot of good times, interviews. We do our double S's, our spinoff specials.
Oh, I forgot that too.
Also, all sorts of great stuff. But today we're going to be serious for a bit. We're going to be breaking down the news.
I doubt it.
Yeah, probably not too much. But we're going to be breaking down the news that our Lord and Savior George R.R. Martin,
speak for yourself,
has not finished the sixth book, and we're going to be watching
which book?
The sixth book in his A Song of Ice and Fire saga. The Winds of Winter is not ready and will not be released before season 6 of the HBO television show Game of Thrones is out.
I'd be happy to make someone a bet about the entirety of 2016.
Okay. But before we get to that, you know what? We're going to do something fun. We're going to be excited. We're going to talk about the brand new, slash it came out over a month ago, Game of Thrones season 6 promo that HBO released.
Did you say brand new or brand new?
Oh, hello. Yeah. So
I haven't lost my fastball.
No, you haven't. Every December, HBO has to release promos for the upcoming years. Why do they do it in December? Because, hey, people are considering, boy,
tax purposes mainly.
No, they're considering, do I want to keep this HBO subscription for another year? And they're like, boy, I really didn't watch The Leftovers or any of these shows on at the end of the year. And so HBO's like, hey, you want to keep that subscription? Because look what's coming up. And sure enough, this new HBO season 6 Game of Thrones promo is out. It's
brand new.
And we all have watched it. We all had our thoughts. We want to go to our resident non-book reader, Mork, for his initial impressions, what he wants to see out of season 6. Mork, what did you think? Why don't you describe the promo to us from your non-book reader perspective?
Yeah, I'm super excited. I want to hear what Mork's sensibility is on this.
Yeah, his hot take. Let's hear it, Mork.
Are you kidding me?
Oh, yeah. Bam.
Oh, pretty good.
Is that all there is? I enjoy staring at Jon Snow, but I think they slowed down whatever shot that was from that awesome, sweet, sweet battle that he didn't bother to tell anybody else about before he was stabbed in the stomach. So it was nice to see him again, and it was nice to have the knife twisted again. Great to see everybody else lose their head and or arm and or virtue. I have no idea, as Bran says at the end. Great to hear, what's his name? That's Max von Sydow.
Max von Sydow, that's exactly right.
Nice to hear his lovely voice. I have finally something in common with the amazing George Double R. Martin.
What do you have in common with
him? I have no idea what's coming.
Oh, you're saying George R. Martin has no idea what's coming because he hasn't written it yet. Let's go to you, Catfish. Catfish, what did the promo make you think? What do you want to see in season 6?
Well, I mean, it seems like we're going to see Bran. I don't know what you want me to say, but there's an awful lot of a character in there who died last year.
So you're saying Jon Snow. They have that shot.
I am. Well, he starts off with Jon Snow, and you're like, are we seeing something from next year?
Well, okay, I got to jump in here. I hate to argue with you there, Catfish, but also there was evil person number 4 who died last year that were not shown in the promo.
Yeah, why not?
They were burned alive by one of the dragons, and I'm pretty sure they're not coming back either. So
We'll see.
Touché.
Well, I just wonder, considering there has been a lot of scuttlebutt about this, what you think this says about how they're going to approach this, because they approached it in a very specific way at the end of the season, in that Jon Snow is dead, it's over, sayonara.
That's absolutely correct. And you're saying that they released a teaser poster with a Jon Snow image on it.
I'm not saying that, but I'm glad to hear it.
They released this teaser, which features kind of a reversed, slowed down shot, the very first shot of Jon Snow approaching Hardhome in that episode, Hardhome, from season 5.
And also, because there is – we're covering some stuff in the books and things that have happened in the – I'm going to kind of beat around the bush here for people who
– sure.
So it's clear for people who know, but also not clear for people who don't know, that there is something that happened in the books that didn't happen in the show that would lead book readers to believe that things may not be as they seem. So after last season, there was a lot of scuttlebutt and a lot of investigation, and anybody who has had any interest in finding out what's going on has had some proof that things, again, are not as they seem.
Boy, that was so...
It was elliptical. It was elliptical.
I appreciate that.
There was no spoiler alert there, but there might have been a confusion alert.
It was. I think even everybody who's read all the books, read all the spoilers, is like, okay, Kedish is trying to say what?
They know exactly what I'm talking about. I'm talking about Lady Stoneheart.
Okay. All right. That wises it up a bit. All right. So season 6 is going to –
I don't even know what that is.
It's going to
be
in
April.
Well,
that was the point.
Oh. Mork says he doesn't know what that is.
Yeah.
So guys, how about this? Are you excited to see Bran back? Bran took all of season 5 off. Are you excited to see young Isaac Hempstead Wright back in the fold?
I can't wait to see how much more he's grown. He was already appeared to be, while sitting, a giant. He may be carrying Hodor around this year.
He's actually the new Hodor. So a slight amount of recasting is going to happen. But yeah.
In the new
Gwendolyn Christie will play Bran.
Oh, that's good. In the new Entertainment Weekly article, it says Bran, that actor, has officially hit 6 feet tall.
Right. Holy cow.
Spoiler alert if you didn't want to know.
But how old? He's only like 16, right?
Right, yeah. He's only.
Holy cow.
Good for him.
Well, that's, you know what, though? I guess all that really matters is, considering the character, is how tall is he from the waist up?
Right. When he sits up. Hey, now.
This is a much different conversation than other HBO shows.
All right, folks, we are recording. This was an emergency podcast I decided to call
Emergencia.
Based on the news that George R. R. Martin put out on Friday, we're recording this on Sunday, that sure enough, even though we all want it, even though we all need it, even though most of season 6, not all of season 6 of the TV show, will be based on an unpublished, quote, unfinished book, The Winds of Winter. And I will stay a bit elliptical like Catfish, but if you followed the television show spoilers, you know that there's still going to be a lot of events from the fourth book, A Feast for Crows, that is going to be in the upcoming sixth season. And sure enough, there's some stuff in the North and in Meereen that has been happened, quote unquote, happened in the book in book 5 that's also going to be coming into season 6. So nobody is completely spoiler-free yet, but sure enough, this season will get to the book spoilers. And so why did I feel the need to call this sudden podcast? Well, it was because when I heard George R. R. Martin say that he wanted to, but that he hadn't finished the sixth book and there was no way it could be out by the start of season 6 in April. In fact, it wasn't even close to it. My first thought was sad, and I'm not going to bash George in any way, other than to say he disappointed us, he disappointed himself, he disappointed his editors, Dave and Dan, who produce and created the HBO show, they're disappointed. So he disappointed everybody. And so I was disappointed. I was sad for him. But then I saw so many people tweeting things like, thanks, George. Oh, thanks, George. That's great, George. It's okay, George. Well, you know, it's George's prerogative, and it was George's not finishing the book that put us to this point. But I don't know if you should be thanking somebody for not accomplishing a goal they wanted to set, that you wanted them to set, that everybody wanted them to set. To me, thanking them and saying, oh, thanks, George, is really not the kind of right message. And there were just a lot of messages that I disagreed with. I'm going to get to this first one right off the top. And that is there's this crazy belief that, you know what, Oh, thank God George didn't rush to finish, you know, because in that case, the book might have had a quality kind of problem because he was rushing to meet some imaginary deadline. And I thought to myself, now, admittedly, we're out here in Hollywood, the three of us, but how many scripts constantly get finished because of a deadline? How many writing projects get finished because of a deadline? How many things get rushed?
I wouldn't have been conceived if there wasn't a deadline, just for the record.
Okay, but George R. Martin, when he was writing for the TV shows The Twilight Zone and for Beauty and the Beast, he had deadlines. Are we going to suddenly say, oh, those scripts that he wrote then weren't good because he had a deadline, because occasionally they had to rush them? A movie that a lot of people are celebrating right now, Star Wars The Force Awakens, that was a rush script like you wouldn't believe. And yet, the end result, while some people may have some problems, and sure enough, I have some problems with the new Star Wars movie, that deadlines don't make something worse. That is the most ridiculous idea I've ever heard. George Martin, you know, doesn't want more time to write the book. He wanted to be finished. He doesn't need more time. He had over 4 years to finish. This was something that, sadly, he just didn't do what he wanted to do, and it's not something to pat him on the back. Let me go to you guys. Do you feel like that because something written has more time to finish, it's therefore better than something that's done under a deadline? Yes or no? Do you agree?
Here's my question, and this is okay. Only going to continue to further reveal my ignorance about the books, but were all the books that had been completed out? Have any books been released during the run of the show?
Yes. The last book,
A Dance with Dragons,
was released during the show.
Let me say this, just a little bit of background here.
Sure.
I read a very interesting article that I tweeted out from the Deadspin on Concourse that mentions that the first three books came out in 4 years, 96, 98, and 2000.
Right. That doesn't mean he necessarily wrote all three in 4 years, because
it doesn't necessarily mean that, no. I mean, maybe he had it more plotted out. Although originally he said it was a trilogy, so that it was planned to be a trilogy. So I don't think he wrote most of the books before he started releasing them, because then he would have recognized that it was not a trilogy. He did indicate that for quite a while.
I agree. And Catfish, your main point is it was at a fast pace. And that, quote-unquote, are people going to say, oh, boy, those first three books in the series were terrible because they were written at such a fast pace? I don't think anybody would dare say that.
No, not at all. But I think we need to consider what's gone on in his life since then. These books became a huge success. You know, when I picked up the books, I believe in 2004, someone who mentioned him to me said, you know, watch out, he's kind of writing them slow. And that was before, you know, he's written two books since 2000. So the fact that he's written two books since 2000, he has added in, you know, I always compare the books to the show Lost, when that at the end of each book, like the end of each season of Lost, they sort of pare everything down. You think, okay, good, they're going to focus. And then in the next book, he adds more and more characters. So now he's way more successful. So there's no impetus for him to just sit down and write when he can really enjoy his life.
Correct.
And, you know, he's older, and he's got so many things he's got to, like, gather together. I couldn't even imagine, like, a young person trying to put this all together. Although over and over again, I have said I wish that Brandon Sanderson, one of my other favorite writers who writes all the time, would finish his series the way he finished Robert Jordan's Wheel of Time series. Now, the only reason he did that was because Robert Jordan passed. So I don't want to say I'm wishing any ill will on George R. R. Martin.
It sounded like that.
You say you're not wishing any ill will, but you are, for the first time in many years, greasing up your pulley bow and arrow, compound bow. So what's really going on here, Catfish?
Well, I mean, the other thing, though, is maybe George R. R. Martin's got some more time now, because he's a fan of two football teams and neither one of them is making the playoffs. So yeah, at least he's got some time here. To speak exactly to your point about whether doing things fast or doing things under a deadline, I've always found when I was writing things or doing things that, well, you know, kind of a deadline kind of presents its own inspiration. If you've got lots of time, it's sort of you kind of dawdle around, you know. And I, when I read the first three books, I loved these books.
Sure.
And I did not like the fourth book, and I didn't even finish the fifth book. And, you know, my frustration is I think he made it more difficult for himself by widening the scope. I feel like the story was rich enough without him having to add in all these extra things to it. And I think he's complicated it for himself. So that's what frustrates me.
Well, okay. To counterbalance that, Catfish, I don't think – number one, I know people who love the fourth book. I know people who love the fifth book. So we're not to say that you can't love the fourth and fifth book. I know people love them. I know there are moments within them I love. Now, about George R. R. Martin widening his scope, he's the author. It is his vision. I always want it to be his vision. So if he wants to widen the scope, I say have at it. But this gets to my kind of next thing where George R. R. Martin, in this post he wrote, he said, you know, I watched a movie, and then I read the book, and I still enjoyed both. He said he watched the BBC adaptation of Jonathan Strange and Mr. Norrell.
Which we also did a podcast for.
Right, so please.
Pub us up.
I can't tell you how much I enjoy that, guys.
So he watched the miniseries, and then he read the book, and he said, you know, you can have both happen. But what I would say is that that is not technically true. It changes the experience, and experience specifically that he's trying to create as an author. I would say that, yes, you can know the killer in an Agatha Christie novel before and still read the book, but that's kind of ruining one of the points that Agatha Christie took in writing the book, is she wants to leave these clues so you solve it. I'm going to use Jon Snow's murder as a specific example of this from the fifth book. If you read that fifth book, we're in the perspective of that character, Jon Snow, and he constantly is focused on a lot of issues, but the one he doesn't really focus on that is bubbling underneath the surface is that how disappointed the members of the Night's Watch are with him. George R. R. Martin is making a specific choice that he's going to write it this way so that when Jon Snow, as we all saw season 5, gets stabbed and killed, it's a surprise. This outcome had been hinted throughout all these Jon Snow chapters, but it was very kind of hinted in the background because it's from Jon Snow's perspective, and Jon Snow constantly gets focused on these other things. And so that's the point in the way he wrote the story, is so that it would still be a shock, but it doesn't feel like it's a shock coming out of nowhere. Now, if for whatever reason you watched the show and then read that book, the kind of context is completely blown away. As a reader, you're suddenly paying attention to those things that Martin didn't want you to pay attention to in the Night's Watch members being upset with John. And so this idea that these spoilers, which are going to happen in the sixth season, won't affect your enjoyment of the book at all? No, I think that's completely false. I think you may like the book even after you see the sixth season, but it's definitely going to change the way you appreciate the book. Does anybody agree or disagree?
Yeah, no, well,
go more.
I agree with – it certainly does change it. I prefer – if I know I'm going to watch something, then – and this is exactly what I'm doing with Game of Thrones, is I'm waiting for the show to finish and I'll go back and I'll read the books because there's always more in the books. And at this point, it's going to be a little bit different.
Things are going to be very different.
Yeah. Which is fine. But I think might be the underlying fear, or at least what I'm worried about and kind of what I'm hearing you say, Bubba, is that are you worried that Martin is waiting to see what Benioff and Weiss do in season 6?
I'm not implying that at all.
But that's what I was going to say. I think that he will – that
to gauge not, reaction?
He might gauge reaction and see if people are particularly outraged about some things. He might think – oh, that's not so good. I mean, the thing is, we won't know now at this
Correct.
Point whether he is influenced by things. It kind of taints it anyway because there's things that I think, conversely, he might see something and go, oh, I was going to do that, but they did it. So let me go a different way so that it is different. I definitely don't put that past him at all, and I wouldn't blame him for that, for trying to differentiate the books from the show. The other thing I want to talk about was how he expresses surprise. There's no one, when they started the show, except for him, I think, believed he would finish before the show. And he kept saying that over and over again. I will finish before the show.
You mean way back when the show started?
Yeah.
Let me say, Catfish, once again, I disagree with you in that I really think the influence the show is going to have on George R. R. Martin is minimal. maybe I'm giving George Martin too much credit. I'll be the first to admit that
he recorded the White Album, for God's sake.
I'll be the first to admit that I thought The Winds of Winter would be out before season six.
Why? It has not even been 5 years since the last one came out. And it was 6 years. It was 5 years between three and four and correct. 6 years between four and five. And the thing is, he's got so many other tendrils out there now. He's got so many things he's got to bring together. You know, that's the other problem. He can do some things from the book, from the show, but they have changed quite a few things in the show too. And again, I've said this before, and I know this is blasphemy. They've done it to streamline and take out some of the things that I thought were clouding up the books and making them not as enjoyable for me. And I've said this over and over again, and you disagree with me, that now I trust them to end it before him. And I'm doubtful that I will finish reading the series. I will be happy with where they end it as opposed to where he ends it.
Well, let me jump in on this, Catfish, and say that...
I'm done. You can say whatever you want.
All right, great. So number one, I would say that the showrunners, I just don't think, tell the story as well. I would use two examples from season five. Once again, I mentioned in the books, the killing of Jon Snow is planted so lightly in the book. I think 99% of readers are shocked that it's happened. But then if you watched season five, you had television recappers like our good friend Andy Greenwald, who was on Grantland and he wrote pretty much verbatim, "Oh, I bet that little Ollie, is going to kill Jon Snow." He just wrote it, and he has never read any of the books. That's because the showrunners were kind of a bit heavy-handed in this, and they told that particular story not as well. I think what's interesting is something that isn't in the books, Shireen Baratheon being burned alive at the stake, is something that another non-book reader predicted from watching the show.
Okay, maybe because there are things that people could have seen, and maybe those are done better in the books. But I will say on balance, I think they're putting together a more entertaining, more streamlined product than Martin is. On balance, I agree there are things that the books do better, but I think there are things that the shows does much better as far as getting rid of crapola.
I just, once again, respectfully disagree. Mork, I want to...
As long as it's respectful.
All right. Okay. You know what? I'm going to disrespectfully disagree in a second. You're going to be, oh my God, what has just happened? All right. So I'm going to read some other things that just really got me frustrated. And this is, first of all, here's a tweet. Somebody wrote, "I'm disappointed in the news, but not in George R. R. Martin." Once again, George R. R. Martin is disappointed in himself. His editors are disappointed in him. You can feel free. I think as customers, he's not, you know, we are all paying him for these books. I think we can be disappointed. I don't think you should attack George R. R. Martin in any way, write any mean things on his blog and something. But why can't you be disappointed? And this person said, not disappointed in him in any way. Grateful for the care he takes in making these books incredible. And I would say, yes, the care he has written incredible books. We are grateful. But once again, I don't think he needs to take another year to suddenly have a better book. Do I think The Dance of Dragons, A Dance with Dragons, would have been better if he'd spent 10 years on it instead of, 5 years? No, I personally don't think this story would have been better.
No, I think the more you think about it, the more you kind of tie yourself up into knots. I mean, the other thing is supposedly he has only delivered, since he delivered the last book, 150 pages.
Well, that's all he was contractually obligated to.
Right. I just got this wonderful thing from 7-Eleven, Game of Thrones vinyl figure.
Sure.
It's a mystery. There's two of them in there. It's a mystery. Or maybe it's just one. I don't know. It's a mystery by Funko.
Yes, Catfish.
And if he puts out a book in 2016, I will gladly give this away unopened. It's a mystery. It could be Joffrey. God,
no, boy, then, Jesus, then everybody'd want Joffrey. It. Okay.
I will gladly give this away to one of our listeners if the book comes out in 2016. That's how strongly I believe he is way behind the curve.
Yeah, I'm not sure it'll come out in 2016 either. Here's another tweet somebody put out. Current readers of Game of Thrones might prefer the sixth book now, but future readers will be happy George R. R. Martin finished when he was ready. And once again, I just respectfully, and this is a Twitter person, respectfully disagree with it. Just because he's going to spend another year on it, I'm not sure that the book necessarily is going to be better because of it. Get in there, Mork.
Yeah, I think I've just realized what's going on here.
What's going on?
And Well, I'm very reluctant to say. So I'm going to say this a couple of times. Spoiler alert, spoiler alert. Okay. So this is a double spoiler alert.
Okay.
But for what, though? People need to know whether they should listen or not.
Yeah, for life.
Is
everybody
it a spoiler
just stops.
Alert, everybody, no one should listen? Or certain people?
Well, certain people, I'm just saying, plug your ears and go na 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 for a little while. Certain people who want to hear my theory.
Okay.
I just don't want to ruin the surprise for them because I think I know what Martin is wrestling with in the book.
Let's hear it.
That may not reconcile exactly with what we've seen so far.
I'm not sure this is a spoiler alert because you haven't read any of the books. I believe this is either pure
speculation corner.
I believe it's pure conjecture or pure horse crap. So let's hear it.
Well, sometimes two wrongs do make a right. So here it is, people.
Let's hear it more.
Where are we?
Yeah.
Where are we broadcasting from?
North Hollywood?
Well, yes, but we're broadcasting from
the entertainment capital of the world,
the Joffrey of Podcast headquarters.
Right, HQ. Okay.
So go with it, Mort. Go.
Joffrey's coming back in the next book.
Oh.
No, well, that's not a spoiler. That's just a fact.
Oh, well, then, okay. Everyone, you can unplug your ears.
I mean, I firmly believe, and this is why I'm frustrated, I firmly believe he's got so much going on. That he's paralyzed.
So much going on. What else is he doing?
No, I mean he's got so much going on in the books and there's so many things to put together.
So many storylines.
So many storylines that he is just paralyzed and can't figure it out.
I disagree.
He might end up doing – I mean let's remember what he did last time. Listen, he split a book that was – he took the same timeline and wrote two different books about that timeline. That's how messed up things were last time.
True, but theoretically that was because he had too many pages. The reason why he's not publishing any book now is he apparently doesn't have enough.
Okay, theoretically he had too many pages and yet what did he do? It took him another 6 years for that second half of the book to come out.
Well, let me get to that because I think that gets to kind of my big overriding fear, not just for the television show but also this book series and this specific next book, The Winds of Winter. When do you tend to write the most? It was funny. I was listening to a great podcast about the politics of and wars of Ice and Fire, and they were talking about, ooh, all the writing they had done this year. And they were like, boy, you know, my longest one I wrote overnight. My longest one, you know, my longest essay I wrote about A Song of Ice and Fire, I wrote overnight. The makers of George Martin's world book, the histories of Ice and Fire, they would say that they would talk to George Martin one day and the next day he would just send them so many pages because he just wrote so many words because he was so inspired. And so I would say the main reason why this book isn't finished, why the last two books have been so slow in being released compared to George Martin's
in
the past.
Wait, can I guess?
Is he's not inspired to write them.
Oh, I thought you were going to say because he's so old he eats at 5 and he goes to bed at 8.
I am going to edit that stupid point.
Just my stupid points? Why do Mark's points stay in?
That's why I'm invited, Catfish.
Yes, to make us all know the edited point. No, I'm saying he's not inspired to write these certain storylines and in
well,
this storyline.
Well, right, because he's got it's so complex and he's got so many things he's got to tie together. I don't think there's no way anyone could – he's got so many things going on. There's no way that anyone I think could be completely happy with everything that goes on in the rest of the series.
If you're not inspired to write,
right,
is the output ever really going to be as great as it could? Now, Mork, spoiler alert for everybody listening. The three of us here, we've done writing. I've sold a screenplay. Mork is involved in producing television movies and all this stuff. So we know how difficult it is. I do not want to take away the massive achievement and how difficult it is from George R. R. Martin. But if he constantly is getting stuck, is getting these Miranese knots, I would say the real thing is he's not inspired. And that may tell you a bit that he's not excited for the story.
I think that could be part of it. But I think the other thing is, he wrote these books for much, much, much smaller audience when he wrote them, and he didn't have to worry about anything but the story. And I think, he's probably looking at this, and I think any writer would. I don't think this is just because he's, I don't know, what is he, 70? How old is he?
67.
Oh, God, he's a kid. Leave him alone. The point I guess I was trying to make is, you know, he wrote the first three. He probably wrote all three books at the same time and, you know, released
and
one.
And again,
then,
I say no because he was very adamant at the beginning when he was writing these.
Let Mork finish it.
Okay, he can finish it. I'm just trying.
Yeah, so my point is I think the what's slowing him down is – he's probably concerned about living up to all of our expectations now when he never was before.
I hope not.
And, you know, and that can be paralyzing when you're worried about following yourself up, when you're worried about letting people down. So, I mean, in a weird way, we're part of the problem. That's what I'm saying, Bubba.
Right. But I would say if he's had that problem, and I agree with you that definitely could be a problem, he's had that problem long before the show started.
That's true. Well, he's had trouble.
Oh, well, then never mind.
No, because it did become a huge hit. It was a huge, huge hit in that world. And the expectations have been following him around since 2000.
And, well, would you say that one of his biggest problems on the previous books, he would even argue, was he always meant for there to be the quote-unquote a five-year gap. Like it was going to be two trilogies. It was going to be the first three books. Then he was going to let the characters age for 5 years. You know, these young characters like Arya, Bran, and Sansa and such age 5 years and then catch up with them. In fact, sure enough, the first preview chapter of Arya, we all know she lives, okay, so hopefully. So Arya's preview chapter from The Winds of Winter was supposed to be the first chapter you read from Arya after her final chapter in A Storm of Swords. So then he realizes, and this is his prerogative, he decides, oh, because of this, I can't do a five-year time jump. And so all those chapters people read of Arya in A Feast for Crows and A Dance with Dragons were chapters that he kind of wasn't ever planning on writing. And so I personally, once again, wonder if that's one of the reasons why some people, I know we're going to get a lot of tweets, a lot of emails from people saying they love those books, but maybe that comes across in the writing, and that's maybe one of the reasons why some people have such problem with those books. Anyway, we have had probably the most serious The Joffrey of Podcasts ever, and I apologize to all our double L's who want it to be back to our usual happy selves, which I'm sure we will be. You guys have any closing thoughts on this infamous writing book debate?
No, I still haven't read the books, guys. So I don't actually believe that there are books. Part of me, both of you guys are real pranksters and jokesters. So I think maybe this whole book thing might just be a cruel practical joke that you're playing on Mork.
It's not just the books. Bubba and I have actually filmed the series,
right.
And we're just spoofing you. You always come over and we're like, Mork, here's HBO. So it's not just the books that aren't real, it's the show.
Well, look, you did it to me. You did it to me with Dallas. I wouldn't put it past you to do it again.
Spoiler alert. JR's dead. All right,
double spoiler alert.
Catfish, your closing thoughts on this book not being published anytime soon?
You know, sadly, I've said the way the book series has had already
disappointed you.
I believe seriously let me down, and so honestly, I don't anticipate that I will read any more books. And this is why I'm satisfied. I'm going to be satisfied with what I get from the television show.
Well, that's good.
And then at least I won't have to suffer and wait for another 5 years and then have a whole bunch of new characters and plot lines that I don't care about and new major characters added in the middle of the series.
Okay. Well, it's good we have three different perspectives. Unlike Catfish, I still love these books. I still want them to be great. I still want George R. R. Martin to finish them. But this is the big thing. I'll just say it again. He's disappointed. We can be disappointed. I don't want anybody writing mean things on his blog or tweeting mean things or saying terrible things about him like Catfish has in this episode. But I think it's okay for us to be disappointed.
For me to be disappointed. I haven't said anything horrible about him. Yeah. I'm just disappointed. You know, again, I feel like he's made it harder on himself. And so I'm disappointed that a series that I was loving kind of got bogged down and stopped being enjoyable to me.
All righty.
I must point out that you did say something horrible about his pumpkin pie.
Okay, there's another.
It's supposed to have pumpkin in it.
All right. So, folks, if you disagree with us, or if you agree with us, or if you're somewhere in between, we want your feedback. We make these podcasts to have discussions with you. You can reach all of us on Twitter. Let's go down the line. Special guest, Mork, how can people reach you on Twitter?
Extraordinary. It's extraordinary with a W before the last R.
And Catfish, how can people reach you on Twitter?
Hit me up at CJGman67.
You can reach me, Bubba. You can find me on Twitter at Fit and Trim. That's FitenTrim, at Fit and Trim on Twitter. For everybody, we do so many podcasts. We want you to experience them, / love them, / hate them all. And you can find out about all the podcasts we do here on the Double P Podcast Network at our Facebook page. Just go to Facebook.com/ Double P Podcast. That's the word double, the letter P, the word podcast. Go to Facebook.com/ Double P Podcast and find out about all the great shows we're doing on the network.
All right, and then we'll hear you next time on
The Joffrey of Podcasts.
So it's P like the vegetable, or like the letter P?
Oh, dear God.
Is it like P-E-A or P, like urine?